You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Premature birth and its complications are the number one cause of death of babies here in the United States. In fact, according to the March of Dimes, about 380,000 babies are born prematurely every year in our country. So that means one in 10 babies is born too soon. And the U.S. preterm birth rate is among the worst of high-resource nations. Joining me to talk about what preterm birth is, the effects of it, and what's being done to combat this health crisis are Dr. Clarence Blaya. He's an OBGYN at St. Luke's, specializing in maternal-fetal medicine, and Dr. Declan O'Rear, a neonatologist at St. Luke's. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gemma.
Nice to be here.
So I want to start with just a simple question. Explain what preterm birth means, because a lot of times we hear about a premature baby, but then there's this term preterm. So just an explanation of the terminology.
Premature birth is recognized by the World Health Organization as any delivery occurring prior to 37 completed weeks gestational age.
And so for people that may not be aware, full term is 40 weeks.
Exactly.
So when we look at these 3 weeks, it wouldn't necessarily seem that 21 days would make a crucial difference, but it can.
Absolutely. And in fact, babies that are born prior to that 39, 40 weeks gestational age have been recently labeled as late preterm births.
Really?
Yeah. So even if you're if you have a baby born at, say, 37 weeks, mm-hmm. Say 37 and 3/7, that baby can still manifest a lot of the problems of prematurity. For instance, there's a higher rate for respiratory problems in those mm-hmm. babies, and they're oftentimes in the NICU for a number of days on respiratory support. To combat that, a lot of hospitals are now barring elective deliveries at less than 39 weeks unless there is a medical reason to do it.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the issues and the complications that can come up? You did say respiratory, Dr. O'Riordan, but I mean, you work with the littlest of babies. And even when we go from 35 weeks to 37 weeks, this is a critical time.
It really is. Yeah. And the problems of premature birth are not only short term, but they can extend for many, many years, really be lifelong. And the problems tend to correlate with the degree of prematurity. So babies who are born at the borderline of viability, meaning at what point do babies really have a realistic chance of surviving mm-hmm. outside of the womb, that's at about 23 to 24 weeks at the earliest, sometimes 22 weeks. Those babies have a different set of problems than babies born at, say, 35 weeks. So the really, really early babies tend to have much more problems in terms of bleeds within the brain and more severe lung problems that can exist for many more years beyond the neonatal period. And they have a higher rate of needing to go home on respiratory support. Mm-hmm. Whereas the babies born at, say, 35 to 36 weeks, it would be very unusual to have a bleed within the brain, but they can still have some respiratory problems and be in the NICU for a number of weeks until they're able to meet all the milestones to go home.
So I read from the March of Dimes that we're at 9.8% of our babies here in the U.S. are born preterm, and that's the third year in a row that number has risen. Why are we seeing these rates go up? We are a developed country. It is kind of shocking when we see that number.
Gemma, that's a loaded question.
Right.
Much of it has to do with disparities in healthcare and access. In addition to our moms are not as healthy as they used to be. Mm-hmm. They tend to be older. There may be a higher risk of higher order births. There's a higher incidence of social discord. Mm-hmm. There's a higher incidence of moms who may not take care of themselves. They smoke. They may use drugs. They may be single moms. They may be teen moms. In Idaho, our rate of spontaneous preterm labor and preterm labor as a whole dropped, primarily because younger moms are not having as many babies. We're starting to see an increase probably because of our demographics mm-hmm. and because moms are sicker. They have more elevated blood pressure. They have more medical problems. As a result of that, when moms are sicker, they have babies that are born earlier.
I'm speaking with Dr. Clarence Blea, an OBGYN at St. Luke's specializing in maternal fetal medicine, and Dr. Declan O'Riordan, a neonatologist at St. Luke's. We're talking about preterm birth and the preterm birth rates here in the United States. And you brought up something, Dr. Blea, about, you know, when we look at race and ethnicity and geography and even economics, that really does play into it, because we've talked about this time and time again on this program. If you don't have access to good health care, that has to play a part in whether your baby is born full term.
Exactly. And Dr. Reardon and I were having that discussion about even the minute differences that occur within counties in Idaho. For example, Canyon County has a significant higher rate of preterm birth than Ada County. We're doing actually quite well. And other counties around Idaho have disparities and rates that are higher.
Right. Well, and then you don't have access to the neonatal clinics that we have, I mean, in Boise, if you live somewhere else.
Right. Certainly here in Idaho, we have some areas that are very, very remote. Places like way up in the mountains, they are not going to have the specialized nursing care and respiratory therapy care that is really needed to take care of premature babies. If a mother has preterm labor, at some of these more remote areas, she's usually going to be transferred in, if possible, prior to delivery, for a couple of reasons. One is that OBs oftentimes will try to slow labor, mm-hmm. and delay the delivery, because we can do some things that will decrease the chances of problems, like give the mother steroids, which decrease the chances of bleeding deep within the brain. We need to kind of centralize that level of care in order to optimize outcomes.
Because then even if a baby ends up in the NICU, if, like, let's say they are living in a different county that doesn't have that access, the baby has to stay.
Right.
And then mom and dad don't necessarily live in the Treasure Valley.
Right. And that's a real difficulty for parents. We do have a great Ronald McDonald House here where parents are able to stay. And that's tremendously helpful, so that mothers can come over and breastfeed and work on the ability to breastfeed for these premature babies, because that's oftentimes lacking prior to going home. Centralizing the care is important for these prematures.
So, you know, there are times where no matter what you do right, you can be the healthiest person. Everything is going right and you go into preterm labor and you have a preterm baby. There are other times, though, as you said, Dr. Blea, that there are steps we can be taking. So what is going on now, or what can moms-to-be be doing, barring some type of incident,
right,
that they could maybe help get their baby further along before birth?
I think having an awareness of how well their bodies are, and not just that, but looking at their history, their potential for preterm birth. For example, if they had a previous preterm birth, there are interventions that we can implement to prevent that, a higher frequency of care, and again, the access issue. Providers frequently don't know that, some don't know that certain risk factors are present that put people at risk, for example, unhealthy behaviors, certain circumstances that exist in addition to a previous history.
Are we seeing more women come in with drug problems? And I ask that question because we have an opioid epidemic in this country, and we have talked about it here, how we're seeing it in Idaho. Are you seeing a domino effect as physicians?
Yes, definitely. The data from Idaho are a little bit difficult to come by. There are some states like Tennessee that have really made an effort to track this very rigorously over a number of years. But looking at the data that we have from St. Luke's, we have definitely seen an increase in the rate of mothers who are dependent upon opioids at the time of delivery. And that's really important, because that's a significant risk factor for delivering early, particularly if the mother is not in an opioid treatment program. Mm. And I would really urge women who are dependent upon opioids, who are either thinking about becoming pregnant or who are pregnant, to get into an opioid treatment program, because it will increase the chances of having a successful pregnancy.
Because let's be honest, the things that you can see as a neonatologist have to be devastating sometimes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And if we, and I, I don't want to sit here and put blame on moms. I'm a mom. We put enough guilt on ourselves and enough blame on ourselves. And I think that most women who go through a pregnancy, you want the best for your baby. But there are things that we can be doing within that time frame.
Yes. One of the important things to discuss that oftentimes isn't brought up is something called the interpregnancy interval. And that is to time a series of pregnancies so that there's enough time for a mother's body to recover.
Mm.
And a number of people have looked at this and a lot of public health groups, and they feel that an optimal interval from the delivery to the next pregnancy is about 2 years. Some people will say as little as 18 months. Others will say 27 months. But in general, spacing the pregnancies about 2 years apart
mm-hmm.
Will decrease the chances for a less than ideal outcome.
And Dr. Blaya, does that go back to the idea of like letting a mom's body recover from pregnancy and delivery? Because this, I mean, yes, we hear, you know, it's natural. We you know, women have babies, but there's a lot that goes on to recover from pregnancy. It's not just having the baby and then you're done.
Absolutely, there is. It does appear, as Dr. Reardon states, 1.5 years, which is about 18 months that we generally suggest people. That is one of the biggest risk factors for spontaneous preterm birth is a shortened pregnancy interval.
Is there research being done outside of, you know, moms take a little bit better care of yourselves? You know, if you are addicted to opioids, get the help that you need. But is there other research being done when it comes to just these spontaneous preterm deliveries that we see?
There is research being done by many investigators around the U.S. They're looking at certain genetic subtypes. Mm-hmm. They're looking at certain chemical factors that exist, certain makeups. But it appears that one of the biggest risk factors that we have in this country is indicated preterm birth, which is different than spontaneous. That's a preterm birth that occurs because mom is sick.
And does mom not always know that she may be sick?
But she may not know that she may be sick. She may not know that she has risk factors to be sick, but sometimes also baby is sick at the same time.
And so it's getting all of that in one place. And that's what you talk about, Dr. O'Riordan, about that centralized care.
Yes, yes. But people can also get excellent care at their local community physician. So their family practitioners, their local OBs in the more remote areas. They're really crucial in terms of monitoring a mother's health, not only before pregnancy, which is really crucial to enter into a pregnancy mm-hmm. in a good, healthy state, but also throughout the pregnancy.
So let's talk about that really quickly before I wrap this up. It is critical then to make sure you get that care. So even if you live in a more rural area and maybe you have, you know, it's just the general practitioner, go get the care.
Yes,
because
definitely.
That's maybe when you find out, right, Dr. Blaya, if you have a risk factor.
If you have the insight to recognize that someone has risk factors, speaking to someone prior to initiating pregnancy does improve outcomes.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking about this. My guest today, Dr. Clarence Blaya, an OBGYN at St. Luke's, who specializes in maternal fetal medicine, and Dr. Declan O'Riordan, a neonatologist at St. Luke's. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim. You're welcome.